Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome back to the Dirt Show. Here's the bad news. Hamas is winning. Hamas has changed everything by its murderous barbarism, by its rapes, by its beheadings. The world is rewarding Hamas. The Biden administration is rewarding Hamas. CNN is rewarding Hamas. CNN has blood on its hands. Hamas uses what it calls the CNN strategy. It depends, it relies on CNN to help win. And it's winning, because what happens is the Hamas strategy, which I started writing about 15 years ago, I wrote a book called The Case for Moral Clarity, which sets it out completely. And indeed, I used for the cover of that book something that I used on the back of my current book, War Against the Jews. It shows an Israeli soldier shooting from in front of a baby carriage, protecting the baby carriage. And it shows the Hamas terrorists using the baby carriage as a human shield to protect him. That's what Hamas does. Hamas kills innocent people, knowing that every democracy will have to respond. It puts babies and children and innocent people in front of the terrorists and in front of the rockets. It uses hospitals, and it knows that when Israel tries to do what it's entitled to do, to attack Hamas terrorists, it will inevitably kill some children and babies. And they're ready to parade these babies in front of CNN cameras, and CNN falls for it, particularly some of its journalists, Amanpour and others, who are totally and completely anti-Israel bigots. And CNN's whole philosophy is you invite on anti-Israel people, you allow them to speak without being challenged at all. And then you have a congresswoman from Pennsylvania, a Democrat, who gets there and says, Israel has killed 32,000 civilians, which is a blood libel and a direct lie. Even Hamas doesn't claim that. Hamas admits that of the alleged 32,000 people, it's probably closer to 20,000, but of the alleged 32,000 people that it claims Israel killed, it doesn't distinguish between civilians and terrorists. It admits that many of them are terrorists. According to Israel, between 13 and 15,000 of them are terrorists. But this bigot congresswoman named Dean from Pennsylvania sits there on CNN and proclaims that Israel killed 32,000 civilians. And the deaf, dumb monkey with sees no evil, speaks no evil, sits next to this liar and doesn't correct her. If any Israeli says anything, they jump on them and they correct them. But anybody can say anything on CNN critical of Israel and no corrections at all. And the reason Hamas doesn't come to the bargaining table is because they know they have CNN on their side. And increasingly, they know they have President Biden and the Democrats on their side. And so this war will continue as long as the United States government, CNN, Times, and others show support for Hamas, because Hamas is winning. Hamas is winning. And the world is forgetting about the hostages. You know, you don't hear anything anymore about the hostages. You hear unequivocal calls for a ceasefire, ceasefire, ceasefire. It's not even conditioned by most people on, all right, if they return the hostages, then there should be a ceasefire. Israel has agreed essentially to that. It agreed to a pause, a ceasefire, in exchange for getting 40 hostages, 40, that's all. And they would have to give up close to 1,000 murderers and terrorists. And Hamas was ready to agree to that. And then suddenly the Biden administration didn't veto the Security Council resolution and then threatened Israel with a cutoff of arms. And what does Hamas do? The smart thing, it says, hey, why should we give up hostages? We're getting what we need from the Biden administration, from CNN, from the New York Times. We're winning. There's no need for us to do anything. Well, I want to make sure the world never forgets what Hamas did and the hostages. You go to the Academy Awards, and everybody is wearing these bloody red hands, which represent the lynching of two Jews by Palestinian terrorists. And one person at the whole Academy is wearing a ribbon to free the hostages. You don't hear a word about the hostages. You don't hear anything about what happened at the music festival or in the kibbutzim, not far from the music festival, where women were raped in front of their husbands or boyfriends and where people were beheaded. You don't hear about the young man who was beheaded and whose head was put up for sale by Hamas. You don't hear it. Well, you're going to hear it from me. I'm sorry. You're going to hear it from me. They're disturbing pictures, but you must, and everybody must remember, this all started on October 7th. Israel had a ceasefire on October 6th. Israel was prepared to negotiate toward an ultimate peace on October 6th. And then Hamas made a decision to attack Israel and kill as many civilians as possible, knowing that Israel would retaliate, being camera ready for CNN to put the blame on Israel. You know, the world rewards terrorism. It rewarded the terrorism of the Olympics back almost half a century ago. It rewards terrorism. Hamas is benefiting from what it did on October 7th. And if you're a Hamas strategist, if you're a Machiavellian non-moral strategist, and you look, you say to yourself, gee, Hamas, what are you waiting for? Do it again. Come on, bring it to Manhattan, bring it to London. You're going to benefit. The world doesn't care. Terrorists are glorified. Look at these useful idiot Hitler youth that are marching from the river to the sea. They're glorifying Hamas. Do you ever see a single one of these demonstrators calling for a release of the hostages? Do you ever see a single demonstrator calling for a two-state solution? Of course not. Nothing like that is part of their agenda. Their agenda is from the river to the sea, the end of Israel, that there should not be a single Jew living between the Jordan River and the Mediterranean Sea. By the way, they don't know what river or what sea they're referring to. They're just marching along as Hitler youth and as Pol Pot youth and as Castro youth and as Stalin youth and as Mao Zedong youth march. When I spoke recently at Cardoza Law School, a 23-year-old radical anti-Israel person was upset. Why are you arguing with me? I'm only 23 years old. And I reminded her that it was 23-year-olds that brought Hitler to power. And she said, are you comparing us to Hitler? I'm saying anybody who supports Hamas today, I do compare to people who supported Nazi Germany in the 1930s. Remember, in the 1930s, there was no genocide yet. So I'm talking about people who brought Hitler to power. Yes, I do compare them when they're 23 years old to people who would bring Hamas to power, who would, from the river to the sea, create a Hamas government. And by the way, that government would murder gays, would subjugate women, would not allow people to be defended by lawyers, would impose Sharia law. That's what you want? You're radicals, and you want that from the river to the sea instead of what we have today, a completely democratic Israel, which has five elections in 7 or 8 years, which has protests in which gays, Tel Aviv was voted the most amenable city for gays in the world. You would substitute a Sharia-bound country, a caliphate in the Middle East for that? Shame on you. Well, you don't know what you're doing. You don't know what you're doing. As Louis Brandeis once said, the greatest dangers to liberty lurk in people of zeal, but without understanding. Some of you are pure evil. I'm talking now to the protesters, the radical anarchists who bring these kids together. Some of you are pure evil. Some of you are just stupid and ignorant and willing to follow the crowd. And it really doesn't matter, because whether it's out of ignorance or out of malice, you're helping to deny not only the Jews of the Middle East the right to be governed by democratic countries, but the Palestinians of the Middle East. You think if Israel were to be abolished, the result would be a democracy that would take its place? No. It would be Hamas government that beheaded people, that murdered gays. What? Be careful what you wish for. And so, in order to remind you again of what started this war, of why you have terrible situations where aid workers are accidentally killed. And by the way, CNN seems to spend as much time on an accidental killing of aid workers as they did on the deliberate murder of 1,200 people and the kidnapping of 250 or 260 people. Priorities. No. What is going on here? And so I want to, in the next 15 or so minutes, show you what I saw when I went to Israel recently and when I went back to the scenes of the barbarism. Let it be etched in your head. Let it never leave your memory. If you're a moral person, you have to think hard about that. And you have to make sure that when you hear about aid workers who are accidentally killed, and what did Israel do? It immediately, A, apologized, fired the people who were responsible, set up procedures to make it impossible, more than the United States did when, on the way out of Afghanistan, it made a very similar mistake and it killed an entire family of innocent people. And by the way, speaking of innocent people, I recently came upon a letter. I bought it at a book fair, written by Albert Einstein in 1945, and some subsequent show, when I actually get the letter, I'll show it to you and I'll read from it. But what it basically says is that the good people of Germany didn't care what was going on while millions of Jews were being slaughtered. And the world didn't care. And the good people of Germany are responsible for what the bad people of Germany did. That letter could have been written by a contemporary Einstein to the, quote, good Germans in Gaza today, 70% of whom support the barbarism that occurred on October 7th. Are they innocent? Morally? No, they're not. They're not combatants. Some of them are combatants. But they're certainly not innocent people. They're people who are morally complicit in the same way that, quote, good Germans were morally complicit in what the bad Germans, the Nazis, did. And so watch these videos, watch these films, and never, ever forget them.
I'm at the scene of one of the worst massacres in Jewish history since the Holocaust. This is the Nova Music Festival, which was a peace festival, a place that people came from all over Israel to celebrate peace and to try to make peace with the people of Gaza. Most of the people who came here favored the two-state solution and peace with Gaza. And close to 400 of them were murdered in cold blood, 6:30 in the morning, 7 o'clock in the morning, when they were waking up to sunrise to sing music. Hamas came over the border and shot and killed everybody they could get their hands on, raped women, mutilated bodies. If you look around, these are all memorials to the young people who died here. This is your children. This is your nephew and niece. This is your brother. This is everybody. And the world has so quickly forgotten and has so quickly failed to understand what happens when you allow terrorism to prevail and to win. This is not only a memorial to the death of the Israelis who died here. This is a memorial to Western civilization and to decency. These are just some of the young people. Just look at their faces. Young people who at 18, 19, 20 were murdered. Some of them raped, some of them beheaded, some of them, their bodies mutilated. They came here to sing, to listen to music, and to bring about peace. And the world so quickly forgets. This is a picture that should be seen by everyone in the world who supports Hamas, who marches for Hamas on college campuses. This is a display of how low the world has sunk when it so quickly forgets. And so many people from organizations like the National Lawyers Guild, Amnesty International at Harvard, support Hamas and support the murder of these people. This man, Guy, survived. He threw his body over another woman and saved her life. He was then wounded and captured and taken to Gaza. Everybody hopes he's still alive and maybe he'll be exchanged during the process of exchanging hundreds of murderers and terrorists who were convicted, many of them of crimes, guilty people, exchanged for innocent people like Guy. It is so important for the world to keep the focus on Guy. These young Hitler youth that are marching on college campuses today for Hamas couldn't care less about the hostages, about the people who are being held under horrible, horrible circumstances. Some of them killed, some of them raped, but the world doesn't seem to care. They've forgotten so much about the hostages. We can never forget about the hostages. I will never forget about Guy until he's released. I hope someday, soon, I'll be able to hug him and tell him that we saw his poster. And I think everybody should join us in hoping for the safe return of all the hostages. This is Jenny, a young girl, a young woman, who came to the festival just to hear some music. And she was murdered by Hamas. Her life ended just because she wanted to seek peace and seek music. And she is anybody's daughter, everybody's daughter. And yet people march on behalf of her killer. And who knows what else may have happened to her. Most of the stories will never be told because we don't know.
Seven members of my family were kidnapped on October 7th, and four others were murdered. Six of them came back in the operational pause, and one, my cousin, is still held there 171 days. This is my aunt and uncle's house, Avshalom, which is the one on the right, and Shoshan. They were here together with six other family members because of the bomb day. And the situation ended up being that seven of them were kidnapped into Gaza and one was murdered. Six of them happily came back after 50 plus days in captivity. Their pictures were here, but they're a bit crooked now. These include a three-year-old, Yael, the most beautiful girl I've ever seen, and her brother, Neve, which is 8 years old.
And they're still...
And they were there for 50 days.
Oh, they're free now. How is their psychological?
Not very good. They talk about it. They even draw drawings of terrorists because they know how it looks because they were there. And it's hard to believe, but they were inside Gaza for 50 plus days. It's unbelievable to me. 6:30 a.m., an alarming amount of alarms start going off. My family, eight of them, come here. There was a bed here, actually, so there wasn't much room in here. First, they just hear sirens and rockets firing at us. Then they start to hear shooting, which is very unusual. And this is when they understand something is different this time. They spent about 4 hours here, not going out, and understanding that something is wrong. When they realized, just from hearing, people are being bombed at their houses, in the safe rooms. So they understand they need to do something different. They understand that if they stay here, they're just going to be bombed. Tal, my cousin, and Avshalom, my uncle, decide to open the window right over here and start negotiating with the terrorists, which is unbelievable as is. So first they tell them there's women and children here. So the terrorists say, okay, men go out, women and children stay in. That's the last time my family saw my uncle and my cousin. About a month after we found out that my uncle was murdered and that my cousin was kidnapped. We also don't know why he was murdered and he was kidnapped. There wasn't any system, there wasn't any strategy. They kidnapped also the women and children that were in this room. So 7 of them were kidnapped, including Yehel, a 3-year-old girl, and a 8-year-old boy, together with her mom and their grandma. They were there for 52 days in captivity. Now they're back home, but they don't have their dad, and they need him as soon as possible. And this is why I also want to say that we need to bring them home now. Tomorrow, today, yesterday, they need to be home. Naven Yael need their dad. And this is an unbelievable reality to me.
We're here outside of Vivian Silver's house. She was a peace activist originally from Canada, but she moved here to Berry and dedicated her life to work towards peace with the people of Gaza.
And she was murdered in her own home.
Yes, that's right.
Do we know the circumstances under which she was murdered?
It took us about a month, even more, to recognize her body. First, we thought she was kidnapped too. After about a month, we were searching for remnants or anything that could identify what happened to her. And in the safe room of her house, which was full of about 40 centimeters of ashes, we found the remainder of her tooth, which told us she was actually murdered here and not kidnapped to Gaza. In most of the houses, they've been burnt, so that we can't tell what exactly happened in each house. They could have been shot and then burnt. They could have been burnt alive. In some cases, we only found remnants from the body, and this is how we identified that they have been murdered. But yes, as you can see, they brought tires and gasoline, and they were very well prepared for that. So that's why we can't tell for sure what happened, but we did find remnants of her body in the safe room.
But they weren't just trying to burn down the houses. They were trying to burn down the houses with the people
with
in
the people
there.
Inside.
This was part of their murder plot.
Yeah. And the thing is, they were very well prepared when coming here. But from the moment they came inside the houses or the kibbutzim, there wasn't any strategy. Anything you see, you kill. It doesn't matter who they are, kids, women, elderly, everyone. It didn't matter. My aunt that lived here actually founded a company, which it was an NGO company that the whole purpose was to grow vegetables in Africa.
Mm-hmm.
They worked in Ethiopia, Rwanda, and Tanzania in order to help both the neutral side of the situation and the economy side. So they helped grow vegetables there so the economy will be better in Africa. It's just another example of the people that were here and their purpose and what they wanted to do. The world.
So these were the best people in the world, and Hamas didn't distinguish, and probably they would prefer to kill people who wanted peace even more than they would prefer to kill others.
Yes. And it's crazy to see it that way, because half of my childhood was here. We used to do picnics outside all the time and watch TV and cook all the time. Mm-hmm.
How does it make you feel?
Unfortunately, I got used to the situation. It's been 171 days, and I can see the reality now. First, I couldn't see. I wasn't here for about 3 months. It took me 3 months to even get here. And it's unbelievable and believable at the same time, because this is what happened.
What do you think now when you see a house destroyed in Gaza or a devastation in Gaza?
I can't talk too much about politics, but
I can't say that I do want peace. I think everyone does.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the thing we need to, we as a society, I mean, need to work on the most, to mm-hmm. work towards peace and want it. And
are you optimistic that we can get peace with Hamas?
I think we need to split Hamas and the people of Gaza. Hamas is a terror organization. I don't think we'll be convincing them anytime soon, but I think there are people in Gaza, and I think there is a solution, and I think that the situation can be better and has to be better.
Vivian was a good friend of mine. She was Canadian. She was a part of a group, Women for Peace, with Palestinian women. And we used to argue on a daily basis. She would go to the entrance to Gaza to get sick people to get treated in Israel. On that day, apparently, she asked her younger son to call me to get out of the house. I didn't have a battery on my cell phone anymore. It was empty. I didn't know about it. She was burned here to the ground. And I couldn't get near her house ever since. This is my first time I went in.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing.
Mm-hmm. And you nothing. Wonder whether or not some of the people she saved and took to the hospitals may have participated in her murder.
I'll tell you something else. People from the Jihad Islami and the Hamas, all people from Gaza, they had families there. Mm-hmm. Somebody raised them to become what they became.
Yeah.
And it's a bit hard for me to forgive, because this is not something that you do to people, especially if you get in with a heavy, well-equipped soldiers from Hamas, and they fought kids, old women, and every person in sight. They killed everybody as a part of their way of punishing us. And as much as I'd like to call it, it's not revenge what we are doing on the other side, but in order to survive in this part of the world, the Middle East, in a way you need to act the same. You can't be a Western in an Eastern region. You got to, otherwise they treat it as weakness. So the way I see, not be from the revenge or punished, they need to understand what they did on that day, on the 7th. It's a tragic mistake as far as they're concerned. And whatever we do from then till today and on, I'm afraid, has to become from that point of view. Otherwise, we won't be able to survive here. Because everybody else is looking around on the other borders to see what's going to happen between us and the Hamas. And then they will decide whether they're going to attack as well, or they say, well, we're not going to get involved with them. And since on the 7th, I was in the regular army 50 years ago, and I found myself doing the same thing again here. I had to decide whether I got stuck again, or I was blessed to be able to fight with a younger generation. To survive and do something with it, as positive as possible to our people. If possible, if they'll agree, we can have some sort of arrangement that both of us, both sides, can be able to live here. And I don't see it yet. So here I am trying to tell people what we went through and hope that it's going to make a difference.
It will. It will make a difference. Some decent people will understand. The indecent people who are marching for Hamas will never understand. They're a lost generation. And just like Hitler Youth was a lost generation, in 1933 and 1934, we have a lost generation, but we have to fight for the minds and hearts and souls of those people who still have an open mind. So thank you so much for sharing your grief and your memories of this wonderful woman. Thank you.
So what you've seen is just a small amount of video of what I saw when I went to the music festival and to the kibbutzim where these people were were slaughtered and murdered. But I have nightmares. I have nightmares about what I didn't see. And if you want to see more, it's very disturbing, you can go online. There are much more graphic pictures, and there are yet much more graphic pictures that the Israeli authorities have assembled and shown only to President Biden and to Secretary Blinken and other people. They're too gruesome to put on television or to show to people, but I know people who've seen them, and they say they'll never be the same again. You know, these are not like pictures of starving people in concentration camps. These are people who their bodies were brutalized in every possible way. And the evidence of rapes and other sexual assaults were just evident for everyone to see. But when I went to Cardoza Law School the other day and spoke, a couple of the radical women were saying, well, you know, why believe them? I mean, what's the evidence? You know, me too, except if you're a Jew. You know, the hypocrisy. I would hope that there would be a film made of, an hour and a half film, commercial film, made of what really went on and shown widely to people around the world. But They're not interested. They're much more interested in the accidental death of seven people from the World Kitchen. It was terrible, but it was an accident. And you can't compare. You can't mention in the same breath. Just like you can't compare what the United States did in Berlin when they captured Berlin, where many civilians were collateral damage. You can't compare that to Auschwitz and to Treblinka and to other death camps. There's just no comparison between what happens during war, when wars begin. You know, the Nazis began the war, the Japanese began the war, and their civilians suffered. And Hamas began the war, and its civilians suffered. And its civilians, many of them deserved to suffer. They helped Hamas. They crossed the border with Hamas. They participated in the murders and the rapes. Others provided material support. And yet others just stood by and cheered. I'm reminded again of the film The Accused with Jodie Foster, in which two people actually raped the woman played by Jodie Foster. Other people held her down. Other people blocked her access when she tried to escape. Other people cheered them on, and other people failed to do anything, failed to make the phone call. They're all guilty, but the priorities of guilt obviously are different. The rapists are guiltier than the people who cheered, but the people who cheered were not completely innocent. And the same is true writ large. In Gaza. So when you hear these fake statistics about 32,000-33,000 innocent people being killed, know that they're false. When you hear the fake claims that there is an ongoing famine today in Gaza, understand that that's not true. That even the UN says there might be a famine in June. There's some hunger. People are having to satisfy themselves with two meals a day instead of three meals a day. And sick kids who were previously sick have died, and CNN shows the pictures of them as if they died of imposed starvation and malnutrition. Not so. There's plenty of food in Gaza if it were properly allocated by Hamas, or indeed even by the parents of the children who died. And so, you know, someday the truth will come out. The whole truth of what happened on October 7th, what happened after October 7th. And the truth, I think, will be shocking to people who have seen the first draft of history, and namely CNN, The New York Times, MSNBC, and the Biden administration. They will see that the first draft of history, reflected by media reports, ended up being ahistorical and false. So keep an open mind, be skeptical, and never allow your principles to deviate. keep to your principles and always, always do the right thing. And if you do, I think you will be supportive of Israel. You can be critical of policies, critical of people in the government, and still supportive of the concept of a nation state for the Jewish people, and that the river to the sea is racist and bigoted, anti-Semitic, and just plain wrong. See you soon.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.